Sometimes I have to wonder, does God really give the credit to the years that we do? Or does he just think with his eternal mind and his eternal setting as he looks at us and has concern for us that in every year of our life, he's always been there? And I think when we sing that song, I wonder this morning when you sing this song, I know for me, as I sing that song, God has been faithful. It just brings up all of the thoughts of the times where he has overcome, where he has delivered, when there was no place for any place or for any person, even myself, to be able to deliver the circumstance, he delivered. Now, maybe that isn't your testimony this morning. Maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe you're like, I don't even know this God. I don't even know this God they're singing of this morning or anything about his faithfulness. Then I pray this morning as we go through this text and get to speak together and worship together that you might have something that you would grasp hold of this morning, that you would become thankful to God for what he's done for you. Because God has been around a long time, eternal in his presence and his capacity to do what he's been doing. He's never changed in his nature. He's the dependable one. When we're looking for what's going to change this year and what might change in us and outside of us, we've got the reality of God who never changes. And that certainty we talked about last year was so important in the midst of all the uncertainty. And so as I've contemplated over the last couple of weeks, and I hope you have as well, you might have started to think, well, what does God have planned for me this year? What is ahead of me this year? What is ahead of us this year as a community? And we can quickly go to asserting all sorts of ideas and looking at all sorts of things within the world to give us different pointers. But I really sense that what God is calling us to as a community in a clear line, and I love that people come in from different places and join us at different times, but I believe that God is really pulling us in to the truth of what he wants to do and what he's always said. And this morning, I'm going to be talking about something that's a very, maybe the earliest concept that you would ever grasp as a Christian in your walk with Christ. And it is about being chosen. That God chooses. God has chosen. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? What does it feel like to be chosen? I don't know if you were ever at school and you had that, you know, that interesting experience where they were picking teams. I don't know why teachers did that. I really felt it was like, I don't know, they're probably not allowed to do that anymore. In my time, it was like a very strong growth moment where you get selected or you don't, you know? You know it's like standing there when, like, there's a captain, now pick teams. And you know it's just going to go down badly. You know who's going to be picked first. You know, I was always in the mid-range, you know? You know, I had some faults that were clearly, you know, visible and able to be ascertained, and then I also had some ability. But I always felt for those who would, you know, be picked last. And it's like, it was very clear, you know, that they had no ability and no chance of delivering anything, and really, they were, if anything, they were a problem to the team. Yeah? Do you remember those moments? I'm talking about in a sporting context, of course. You can't say that for workplace or anything these days. So, but with sport, in sport, that was what would go on. I remember those moments, and I was just like, this is crazy. This is not what God looks like when he chooses. He doesn't choose the best at the front and then sort of peter down to those who are, oh, gee, well, I better have them on the team. God is one who chooses in a way that is very different to humankind. And it's important that we understand this from the very basics, because otherwise we bring our human thinking to our understanding of God. And then we bring our human thinking to our understanding of how we are towards God. And then we bring our human thinking, we can bring our human thinking towards how we do things for God. And so you see how basic things become really important in the kingdom. So Faye, I'm going to need your help with the slides if I can. Have you ever heard this line where it says, many are called, this is in Matthew 22, but few are chosen? Have you ever heard that line? That's a line from Jesus. When Jesus says things, they're either cryptic because people overcomplicate them, or they're so simple that you would miss them. Listen to this line. Many are called, few are chosen. The story that Jesus told to help people understand this in Matthew 22 was a story of a wedding. That a big wedding feast was happening because it's a celebratory moment. He invites all of these people, and they are too busy to respond. They have too much on, And they didn't have the value for what was being invited that others did. Right? And so then he sends them out to the highways, his servants. He sends them out to the highways and the byways and invites everyone. And those who come, respond to that invitation, are chosen to be at the wedding. Isn't that interesting? That's what Jesus was saying when he came and he walked on this earth and he was trying to describe, this is how my Father's kingdom is different to your idea of chosen. He says, when those who don't respond to the invitation don't come in, I invite everyone. Now, some believe that the gospel is for an exclusive few. And I want to tell you that that is not the truth that Jesus brought to this earth. He said that the gospel was for everyone. It put an invitation out to everyone. When Jesus came to this earth, he put an invitation out to every person that were called, that were invited. But in this statement, he says, but few are chosen. Few are chosen. You can be called, invited, and not respond. Now, what does it mean to be chosen then? What is it to be chosen by God? Someone picture it as being, you know, this morning we're in worship and there's a moment where, woo, you know, someone comes down, God puts his finger on someone, chooses the select one. No, no, no. No, this is about our response to God. He has chosen you. Ephesians says this, that before the foundations of the earth, he chose you. Before the foundations of the earth. What were you doing at that time? Was there anything you were doing that could affect his choice? Anything at all? Did he know about your abilities, your capabilities, your failures, your future? He probably knew all of that. He did know all of that. But he chose you. Isn't that a powerful verse? It's like, anyway, you got to think on that for a while to get to grab hold of this. But imagine that you have been chosen to represent the kingdom of God on the earth. You've been chosen by the King of the universe. Before the foundations of time, he says, you will represent me on the face of the earth, and you will represent me in a way that glorifies me, that gives all courage and all hope to all humanity. If you felt that call come to you, I know most Australians would be like, oh, gee, I don't know if I could do that. Very reluctant, you know? But when God has chosen, there is something about people who are chosen, they live in a different way. Not just invited, but they have responded to the call, and now they live representing the King. That's what Christians do. That's what we believe, is that Christ called us, and we have chosen him after he's chosen us. It wasn't so much that we were the ones who found him. He found us first, and then we found him. I know many young men, even in this church, have often said to me, I'll never find a wife. I'll never find a wife. You know? It's just not going to happen. Some of them have just dipped their heads. And I'll tell you, within 3 weeks of them stopping to try to look for that wife and turning themselves to God, it's amazing. Their eyes are opened. There's amazing things that happen. When you suddenly realize that God is the one who chose, not you. That God has chosen you and he's chosen a path for you. And when you stop working against him, we think we're working with him, but when we stop working against him, we actually are revealed, we give revelation of a whole lot of things that changes our life. And I fear that many would go into this year thinking again, that they have something to do with this year. That they would grasp hold of this year as if it is theirs to fashion and to form. When my God says from Ephesians 2, through Paul, you were chosen before the foundations of the earth. At what point did you have grasp on this? We were never called to grasp this. We were called to grab hold of Christ. We were created to carry the most precious and powerful message, gift and glory to those all around us. You were chosen to carry it as a representative of Christ. Have you answered the call of God? He may have left a few voicemails for you. Have you answered the call? Have you ever got a text message and think you've answered it? You forgot to answer, you know? Maybe some of this morning you're like, oh, gee, I just didn't answer. I did remember that call. That's right. It was pretty clear. I was in that meeting. I was in that place. I was in that room. And he did call me. I just forgot to respond. No wonder my life has felt like I'm doing it all alone. Imagine that you now are called. This is why God gave us imagination, to be able to understand the bigness of his plan and his power, to live for his name with all authority through Jesus Christ to overcome this world. That's what it means to be chosen. That you have been made, created, formed in his image to carry his likeness and overcome the world. Who will overcome this world? John 16 answers this so powerfully. And we're going to read through John 16 and 17 because Jesus was working with some disciples, probably very much like us, who were trying to grasp the bigness of what God was actually doing and preparing for them. But the last line of John 16:33 is a powerful one. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And I feel like it's saying to us this year, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I have overcome the world. The truth is, we can't have it both ways. We're either responding to God's choosing and our chosenness, and by him we overcome even the world, or we choose the world and be overcome by it. How many people, what did last year teach us? That people can be overcome by the world. Yet we have at the center of our faith, at the first point, that you are chosen to overcome the world in Christ Jesus. This year, do not be overcome, but be an overcomer. So in 1 John 5, he goes on to say, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Are you ready for this? This is the victory. You ready? Hold on. Everybody there? You ready? Our faith. Our faith. How much has come against faith over the last 10, 20 years? How much has come against faith in Jesus Christ over the last, simpling it down, let's just make it not so important, let's get rid of God out of every element, let's not have faith, let's just have freedom. Let's just have freedom to choose. You've always had freedom to choose. What a lie. As if it just turned up. As if now, in the 21st century, we suddenly have a great freedom among us. The gospel gave freedom to this earth through Jesus Christ. And all that was desired by the God of heaven was that you would choose him with it. That you would know him and that you would overcome the world so that others would see the representation of the King everywhere they are. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has come, has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God? We need to believe and understand that Jesus came from God. Man, I wish they'd asked me to rewrite the national anthem. This can go out there too, I don't care. I've got way better wording. Seriously. Young and free, to one and free? What about our God is one and three? Boom. Our God is one and three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Forget about us. What about him? Did he not foundation our lives? Did he not bring this nation to the place that it is? Does he not govern over our nation above all of our politicians? Does God not call us to walk as chosen people from every nation, tribe, and tongue? Our God is one and three. You can sing that if you like. Prayer and praise. We have no more days to sing his praise than when I first begun. Interesting line. Better anthem. Amazing grace. I have no less days to sing his praise than when I first began, when I was chosen, when I was formed, when I recognized that I was chosen by him, drawn into him, called by him, and responded with my whole life, not half a life, not a couple of elements, not a few problems I needed fixed, my whole life, because I realized that my life was in his hands. It always was in his hands. And from the moment that he had the concept of what I was doing on this earth and what we were doing together, that it was already set in motion. You see, this was an invitation, not an ultimatum. The world does ultimatums. But Jesus did invitation, because it was expressly important that you were able to choose him. Prayer and praise. There's something about getting back to basics. Back to the basics that deliver the life of God. Prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Don't do a blog about it. Don't do a Facebook post about it. Pray, then do a Facebook post about it. Pray. Remember that old-fashioned thing, prayer? Remember that old-fashioned thing, praise, that we do this morning? How many people go to Facebook before they go to prayer? How many people go to the web, to the Google, before they go to prayer? How many people go to others before they go to prayer in God? And this, as a chosen one of God, is one of your primary, major accesses to the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that amazing? As a child of the living God, someone chosen who's responded to God, your major access is that you have relationship with him and you can speak to him at all times in all things. Everything to God in prayer. Now, Trinity Revival had to stop mid-discussion in the last few months, just going, this discussion is not going to take us anywhere. About this or that, let's just pray. And the power of prayer has also subtly drifted away. Subtly been pushed. No, you've got all this information. You don't need prayer. We need a whole lot less information. We need a lot more wisdom. And when James says, ask for wisdom, you get the impression he's saying, you don't have any. You need some. That wasn't me, that was James, right? You get the feeling that James is going, we've got enough information and enough great ideas. What we really need is some wisdom. A way forward that is not like mankind, but is like Christ himself. So ask for wisdom, because he gives it freely. Unlike all the other things you're paying for to try and help you get through. Prayer and praise. To proclaim and reclaim what God has given to every individual and across our community and other communities like it. This is something that churches across cities, nations, and the world can partner in. The very basics of the gospel, that you have been chosen by him, called by his name. You know that salvation is in Christ alone. Rod talked about it this morning. You can hear it comes through Rod. You know, that evangelist just pours out of him. The desire for people to receive Jesus and respond to them. That isn't so Rod's the main evangelist. That is so that Rod would affect your life by the fact that he desires that people would be saved. But salvation is in Christ alone. Faith is the thing that delivers us to the presence of God. We are called by his name. Are you okay to lose your name, your stature, your reputation, and take on his? In a marriage covenant or a ceremony, particularly in the old covenant, there was a picture where they would exchange names. They would exchange weapons, they would exchange clothing to signify that a covenant had been made in the spirit that was binding. Exchange their weapons. Exchange everything. We can't think too highly of our reputation, our name, and what it gets us, because the access by Jesus' name is far greater. Eternal access and supernatural access, so that when we pray, it has supernatural effect, not just natural engagement. Do you know how hard it is to try and change everybody around you? Anybody ever tried that? But God goes above and beyond, and he shows people who they are in the light of him. He delivers them to a place where they understand themselves from the reference point of him. And I'm so thankful that when he did that to me, it released a whole lot of people from the reference point of me. So this year, the salvation for you that we're talking about might be from this year, but it might be from you. The person who may keep you in the place you're in the most might be you. And Christ is the one who wants to release you out of that. Release you from your insecurities, from the challenges that you think can't be overcome, and deliver you to the truth of what he has for you. Suddenly, his reputation, his confidence, his understanding becomes so important. And as a believer, you have access to his peace, his power, his authority, his love, and it's unending and unconditional. And you open it up by faith. Nothing you've done. Nothing you could have ever done. It's what Christ has done. Sorry, I feel like I'm speaking to the converted in many ways, but my goodness, we need to stir this up in our faith, in our understanding of what God is doing. John 16 to 25 to 33. We need to know Jesus came from God. Let's walk through these scriptures. There was a moment of awakening for the disciples, and it came by the Spirit. Do not look to anything else to awaken you, but this very Spirit of God who was given to bring the truth of these things to life in you. The Holy Spirit was given. Our God is one and three. I have said these things, in verse 25 it says, of John 16, to you in figures of speech. But the hour is now coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Jesus was talking about an awakening of the Spirit. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that you will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. You see, believing that Jesus came from God gives us his authority. When we truly believe Jesus is the Son of God, he came from God, and he's the access to the Father, then the Father's approval and authority rests on us. The same approval and authority that was on Jesus' Son rests on you. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when you confess that from your mouth, when you pray to him and say, Jesus, you are who you said you are. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to speak with my Father. When you speak that from your heart, you open up authority of God and approval of the Father over your life. Oh my goodness, this is so big when it comes to mental health. This is so big when it comes to who you are. This is so big when it comes to what you're walking in. When you feel powerless, to feel the authority of God on your life, to know that you are chosen, to know that you're walking in that, to know that it's by your Spirit it's been awakened, not by some external thing or something that would give you a sensation that you were somehow empowered for a moment, but the Spirit of God who is eternal. This morning I'm just praying like that God would just put the charges on some hearts here and remind you that it all comes from the Spirit through faith, that this authority, this approval of the Father is towards you. I came from the Father and I've come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. The disciples have started to grasp something. Jesus really isn't the one in question here. They are. There's people still who pray like they're questioning Jesus. Jesus, why has this happened to me? And I feel like this moment really depicts a moment of prayer for us and understanding. I don't think Jesus is the one in question. I think it's how we respond. See, chosenness isn't the first time you respond and now it's beautiful Christianity for the rest of your life. He didn't say that you would overcome the world once, but that we would overcome the world continually. Prayer is continuous. Continually there's going to be opportunities for you to respond to God. I think that's what Rod said this morning. He was already pinching my message. There's going to be continual opportunities for you to have an invitation and a response. Last year we were just learning to get good at it. There's invitations from premiers all the time to respond. But what about when it's God? What about when it's eternal? Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Because that was the question. It wasn't that Jesus was in question. Do you now believe that I am who I said I am? I come from God. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In Christ, under his name, not your name, his name, you will have peace. In the world that we really want to overcome in Christ, you will have tribulation. Tribulation. I have seen so many people have tribulation last year. Some was COVID, but most was just the reality of themselves and not being able to deal with COVID. Are you getting the message this morning? That in me you have peace, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do not expect that there won't be tribulation. Expect that the God of peace is with you. Jesus says, I'm going to go away to be with my Father, but don't worry about me, I'm not alone, I'm with him. When you leave this morning, I'm trusting that God goes with you. So that even when you're not in a room like this, hearing a message like this, being in this worship as it was, that you would be carrying the presence of God. That in prayer, the authority, the approval of the Father, in access through belief, that you would have peace with Christ because he abides in you and you abide with him. Remain tethered, partnering with Christ. I will not let go of him under any circumstance. Then John 17 makes sense when Jesus, at a moment of desperate prayer, probably coming to the point where he was going to go to the cross, starts praying. And what he just said to the disciples in John 16 was the word. This is the way you pray. Understand that there is awakening there by the Spirit. There is authority that you have. There is approval of the Father. There is access through belief in me. There is abiding peace. Out of that, John 17, he does it. He does exactly what he says. Unlike most people who say something and then do another, Jesus says something to his disciples and then does it. Not even a verse later, he does it. So let's read John 17, verse 1, when Jesus prays to his Father for himself, which is what we do, right? And because Jesus in Luke 11 had to teach them to pray, I would suggest that we need to be taught to pray by the Holy Spirit, the one who awakens us. And if you haven't had a powerful prayer life, my prayer is that it will change. If you haven't had a powerful praise life, and you're one of those people who sits through a worship session just hoping that it would end, I pray that it would shift your heart to see that it's not about what's happening in the room, it's about him. It's about a relationship with him. This is your rest. This is your place of relationship with the most important person beyond the world. When Jesus had spoken these words, where he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. I'm not looking at anybody else. How are you going? How are you going? Here is my view. He lifts his eyes to heaven and says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified. Imagine if you got up in the morning and that was your first moment. Before you speak to anyone. Because it's not just for when we're going through bad things. It's when we're going through everything. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified. Or may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you. Jesus was totally preoccupied with people being able to have a relationship with the Father God, just like he had. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, even the chosen bit, Jesus did the chosen bit for us, right? He was chosen by the Father to do all that he did and deliver everything to us so that we would be able to overcome. There was one so that there would be many. It spread right out. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with your glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus came from glory and he went to glory. We were born into a world that was decay, depravity. And yet Jesus has given us the opportunity to walk with the King of Heaven in righteousness and peace and power and authority in a relationship that is like no other. The gospel was fulfilled in and through Christ before it even came to us. It was complete. It's whole. It's perfect. And it was delivered to us that it might perfect us. And when we pray, when we're in prayer and in praise of God, do you know what you stir up? You stir up that gospel to outwork through your whole life. Whenever you access what God has made available through you through his Son, by prayer, the stopping, the moment of shifting your heart towards him and speaking to him alone, it stirs our heart. It unleashes the gospel. It's like double clicking. But if you want to keep it retarded and small, if you want to keep it ineffective, don't pray. Do not praise God. Do not act like you are in his presence at any time. And then you'll just keep it small. Locked up, like a lamp, under a basket, serving no purpose at all. But if you have recognized this morning that you've been chosen by God to carry this profound message that is expounded in your life, then pray. In everything, pray. In everything, praise him. Every time something comes towards you and it's going to take you down a path of self-centeredness, burst out with your spirit and meet it with peace and power and love of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It will have life-changing power. When Jesus fulfilled all, he fulfilled the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Messiah, Messianic requirements. He fulfilled everything. He fulfilled it. And he delivered the new covenant to us. So that we might be able to say crazy things like, not my name, but your name be glorified. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my way, but your way. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Not my desires, but your desires. No longer I that live, but God be glorified. That is crazy stuff. No one can say that unless they know Jesus. This is what 1 John says. No one can actually say that. In John 15:16-17, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, remain, stay, be steadfast, always seen, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The Father. I can't ask the Father for anything unless I know that Jesus is the Son of God and I've believed him and he's overcome the world. But when I do, I can ask him anything in his name. He may give it to you. These things I command you. Why? So that you will love one another. So we know the motive, right, of the Father God is that we might be able to love one another in the way that he loves us. So in praying to the Father, asking for a Ferrari may not be in line with loving someone. Unless, of course, I'm giving the Ferrari to Rod for the express purpose of getting him to as many salvations as possible very quickly. Rod says amen. You see, there's always, people don't read on. We've got to read on. We've got to capture what God's saying. There's a motive here so that we might love one another well. So we may do it in the way that God has called us to be. He loves us, we love others. But you were chosen. He chose you. There's no getting away from it. Do you feel that this morning? There's no getting away from it. He chose you. And when we're looking for purpose and where am I going to find this and that, suddenly it's like, deal settled. I know who chose me. I know who chose the plans for me. He's got thoughts towards me that are good. They're powerful. They're kind. Do you notice in here that he answers prayer because of his choosing, not because of our fruitfulness? Because you are chosen and because you're responding to the Father, that's why he answers your prayer. You will be fruitful because you're in him, but not because you're fruitful. Some people get this idea like that person's far more fruitful, so he answers their prayers. They always get everything. Maybe they just know that he chose them. And that's why the fruit abounds. From Genesis to this moment, God has not changed. He desires us to be fruitful, to be full of his life and revealing it everywhere. Prayer and praise are something that as a community, we need to take hold of and say, God, we're not going to let these things slip. We want our faith to be burning, firing in our hearts. I don't want to become complacent. I know that Jesus came from God. I know that he has overcome the world, and therefore, I want to let him overcome me. Prayer, this agreement, you can see it in Jesus' prayer. Access was through faith. Authority is in his name. He is aligned because he is known by God. He's known by the Father. He's activated in that moment. He doesn't get away from it, does he? He's like, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished your work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence. I'm not going around this, I'm going through. He was going to the cross. But he already knew the Father's love. He already knew the glory of God. Prayer and praise is always available. Prayer and praise is continual. Prayer and praise is counteractive. It loves enemies. It fights for the posture of praise. It knows God. It's steadfast in its declarations. We all desire that, not in our resolutions, in our declarations, right, of God. It's a submitted stillness of warriors who stand in his presence. Prayer is a warrior posture, not warrior, warrior. Don't pray because you're worried. Pray because you're a warrior. You stand in the presence of the King, and you've been chosen by God to carry this everywhere. A couple of little things to finish off, to get your attention. Power of prayer is in rest and relationship. It's direct access to communicate with God. It's the first thing we do, not the last. So Trina and I are driving to Eyre Peninsula with our whole family in one car, and we are in the absolute epicenter of the dead spot of all mobile phone towers, right? There is no coverage. Zero. No other communication possible. And at that exact time, I know my car that well that it sits, the temperature gauge sits exactly at the same spot all the time. And I just notice it flicks like this. Like awareness, I guess, but I'll call it God actually. And so in that dead spot of all communication where there is nothing else, and it's like a desert, if you've ever been between Whyalla and Cow on the Eyre Peninsula, you can look it up on Google, you'll just see sand. Pull over, and the bottom of the radiator has just started to spit everything out. Just decided this is the moment. Now at that moment, after being up from 5:30 that morning with eight kids in the car, my brain is not in the best level of operation. I'm on the last leg of the trip. We've been driving for 4.5 hours. My wife has soothed me, you know, engaged me in many ways to be able to, but I am not ready for the bottom of a radiator to drop out without any communication possible. And you got your premium RAA membership, but it's no use if you can't call anybody, is it? I've got your attention, haven't I? So you pull over, you've got no brain. The kids are having a great time. They're outside. They just think it's time to, you know, kick the footy and play cricket and whatever. But we get to a point where it's like, we can't actually call anything. So we had to move a little bit up the road and find the one bar We luckily had another SIM card that we'd purchased some time before, pulled it out the glove box, put it in, and bang, got one bar. Well, I think it was like half a bar, really, of communication. And we didn't know what to do. Hadn't been in that situation for a while. For our kids, it's always an adventure. For me, it's like, I don't have a brain. What do we do first? But there was this moment, and this is where I'll just get to the point. Things happened all around that. But there was this moment where Trina and I just both stopped. And I've been preparing this message, of all things. You don't want to prepare messages, I'll tell you when you go on holidays, about prayer and the power of prayer. And I've been writing some thoughts down. And I think I'd just written this line down. First things we do, not last. And so I just sat down on the side of the road. Trina was just standing there as well. And we just prayed, God, don't have a plan for this. Brain won't come up with a plan. Brain is disengaged. And as it unfolded, God just provided different things. Made phone calls on our half a bar while we were waiting for the REA for 4.5 hours. Made phone calls that set up everything and made it fine. It was just amazing how God just ordered things. And of course, we engage relationships, you know. Met a mechanic at Arno Bay and just made a phone call, and he was all too willing to help and fixed it up on Boxing Day, and I didn't expect that he would do that. Found radiators in places that you can't get radiators for that car. Everything to God in prayer, right? Now, I'm willing to admit my brain was not coping with the situation because it just didn't have anything left. But the first thing was to actually stop and go, God, I don't know what to do. Why don't you unfold the plans? Why don't you dictate the future? Why don't you deliver what you want to deliver? And relationships come out of that. Engagements come out of that. Are we willing to be used by God in all circumstances, in all things? God will do it. It didn't stop the expense. It didn't stop the reality. It didn't stop any of those things. But I believe that God overcame the world and delivered his gospel. So some things, you know what, this year are still there waiting for you to deal with. Just like they were last year. But my prayer is this morning that knowing that Jesus came from God, that he chose you and he's overcome the world, that you will now recognize from the posture of an overcomer that it's time to walk through them and over them, and he will deliver you. Because faith is the delivery of salvation to your life. Don't look to go around them. Don't look to opt out of them. Look to walk through them as overcomers. Short message. In many ways, but a lifetime of learning is in front of you with Christ if you choose it. Chosen by him, will you choose him today?